Hello, assalamu alaikum everybody, hope you're all safe, sound and healthy, and I'm back again despite the fact that I really did not want to do a consecutive podcast, but there we are again. And this is because for a few days now, we've been hearing about Imran Khan getting bail, Imran Khan getting relief, two of his cases were thrown out of this and of the court, you know, and currently, as of yesterday, I mean, as I record this podcast, this happened yesterday, that everybody got pretty, you know, enthusiastic, not excited, but enthusiastic about the fact that Imran Khan was about to have relief once again in the 9th May, the fake 9th May terrorism case that was, you know, in which he was falsely accused, arrested. In fact, if you remember, he was arrested before 9th May. So putting the 9th May terrorism on him, you know. In fact, I guess the enthusiasm was about the fact that the Supreme Court judge challenged this charge. He himself challenged the evidence, he challenged the witnesses, he challenged the whole case itself. He challenged the integrity of the case, and he basically tore the case to shreds. He scolded the prosecutor, he scolded the state managers, basically, because the prosecutor is there on behalf of the state managers. He talked very openly about the illegal arrests, the political revenge, and he said, "Do not play politics in my court. Do not drag our courts into your dirty political tricks and your games. So you should fight your political rivals outside of the court, not here. This is not a place for you people to, you know, bring your personal shit," basically. So he basically bore down on the prosecutor, he bore down on the state. He even asked them if they actually knew the definition of terrorism, which is something that I've also talked about. Many of us have probably, you know, touched upon this point, that do you even know the meaning of terrorism? And then he cited the actual terrorism cases, that the incidents that happened, like the Army Public School incident where kids were killed by terrorists, teachers too, and then, you know, where police officers were killed recently and before, where the army personnel have been killed in terrorist incidents. So he was like, you know, those are called terrorist incidents. This is just your, you know, your own personal revenge games that you're trying to just pull us in. He's like, it has nothing to do with the law. It has nothing to do with us. This has just get it out of my court. In other words. So, you know, but again, I would say that no matter how much the judges bear down on the fabricated cases, no matter how much they talk openly now about, you know, the authoritarian government, the illegal government, the rigging and the elections, even if they talk about, you know, even if in their remarks or in their questions or in their dressing down, they talk about how we have destroyed democracy and politics in the country. But the point is that the Supreme Court is itself compromised. Their top man is compromised. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Pakistan, Faiz, is compromised. So, you know, so even though Faiz is now making such a big deal out of the corruption cases, the corruption charge against the army to do with land, you know, the DHA corruption charge. But I mean, come on. That to me, it's just, you know, it's BS. It's part of the same BS that Khwaja Asif was a part of, you know. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I find it all suspect. I don't know if the judge is actually being sincere or if he's just part of the whole drama, the facade, the charade that the army is putting on, you know, because as you know, it has always been part of their pattern where they're now just trying to misdirect, you know. It's all smoke and misdirections and smoke and mirrors, in other words. So yeah, I mean, I'm not unlike the others, or maybe the others too have come to realize it, I don't know, but I find the whole thing suspect. Again, I will say it, as I've said it before, I will believe that Imran Khan has been vindicated when he is out, when he's out and he's free and he's back home, and when his wife, who is already being tortured in their own way, they've been torturing her, when she is released. So yeah, that is, you know, when all the political members of PTI are released and vindicated. Yeah, that's when I'll accept the fact that, okay, yeah, these judges are actually doing their job. Otherwise, I'm sorry to say, I doubt everything that they do. Okay, I doubt. Faiz, everything he does is automatically doubtful. It's automatically suspect. But even the other judges who are talking about, you know, throwing out the case and, you know, blah, blah, I'm sorry. But unless you physically throw out the case, and unless you actually force the government to kneel down in front of you and accept your decisions, I have nothing to say. And I'm not at all enthusiastic, to be honest. They're just saying what the whole world is already saying. We already know the truth, you know. So yeah, the judge may have torn apart the false evidence. He may have torn apart the incident reports, the false incident reports, the statements. He may have torn everything apart. He may have thrown the case out of his court. But again, you know, this is something that even in Bandyal's time, they did. The Supreme Court threw this case out of the court. But here we are again, you know. So yeah, again, as I said, a lesson until an actual concrete implementation of a decision is made, I trust no one. Having said that, you know, when Faiz Issa is talking so much about pretending to, you know, talk down on the army, and obviously, as we know, that the best way to, you know, make the public listen to you is to tell the truth, even when you're acting and when you're, you know, playing a role. You know, you mix the truth up and people will listen. And yes, because he has spoken the truth about the insult to the martyrs. But this is something I've already said again. So again, it's nothing new. If you remember, I've said it again and again, that the only people who can insult the martyrs are the army themselves. Okay, right now, by committing treason, by acting the way they're doing, by simply using martyrs' names to create projects like the DHA schemes, and, you know, by using the martyrs' names to create other, shadow projects, which, you know, are actually filled with holes and they are, you know, infested with corruption. So, yeah, that is an insult to martyrs. Also, using the martyrs to play dirty politics, to hijack the country, that is also an insult to the martyrs, okay? So deliberately attacking martyrs just to lay the blame on a political rival, that is also an insult. So, I mean, DHA is just one of the many examples of doing business in the name of martyrs, but now the army is actually wanting to take control over the agricultural land. I mean, what is this if not treason? Are we planning on becoming North Korea? I mean, what are they trying to do? What do they think they're trying to do? And by the way, has anyone seen how the USA is suddenly defending Pakistan after deliberately making Afghanistan and Pakistan have this spat between them? I mean, it really shows how the USA, after Iran, is now using us to break ties with Afghanistan, and through CPEC, through cutting funds, forcing us to cut funds for CPEC with China. So dictating our foreign policies, dictating our alliances, dictating our friendships. And soon, you know, America will be like France, like how France has done to the African countries. The USA is probably trying to do with us, you know, or to us. And that is that the USA probably will now tell us who to buy what from, who to trade with, you know, and who to have relationships with. In fact, America has already tried to dictate that to us. That is their problem, that why did we go to Russia? The question is, why shouldn't we? If India can have an alliance with both Russia and America, why can't Pakistan? That's the question here. Right? That shows the blatant hypocrisy here. Okay? I mean, if anything, this is a clear symptom of prepping us, as I've said again and again, to use us and our soil for war. That same war, which goes against the very ideology of Pakistan, the ideology that caused Liaquat Ali's assassination, it caused Bhutto's assassination, and now Imran Khan's attempted assassination. So after finally getting a grip on us, do you honestly think the USA will let us go that easily? We will have to prise off its fingers, breaking them if needed, in order to get away from this vice grip. And don't talk to me about Donoghue's hearing. I mean, do you think we're fools? I mean, this is something that I've said already on social media, that it's a farce, you know. And you know what? Dr. Muhit Pirzada proved my point, you know, in not so many words, but I mean, you know, whatever he said makes my point that this was essentially a farce. You know, Donoghue may try to whitewash his actions and save his skin by telling the truth about the stolen mandate and raving about the cruelty of the establishment towards the people, you know, and then rounding it up in this weak surmise that, you know, despite everything, the people came out and voted. Yeah, but that is what you are here for. You're here because of two things. The blatant interference that caused the illegal removal of an elected government, which in turn caused the consequences that you are right now talking about, pretending to be, you know, empathetic or sympathetic towards us. You know, you are trying to pretend to show us empathy, you know, that you're on our side about all the cruel, mentioning all the cruelties that have happened, all the things that have happened, you know, the way Imran Khan and his party members were targeted. You're trying to suddenly be all nice and friendly and sincere towards us, but you forgot that it was you who created this whole thing. And that is why you're standing here being interrogated. I mean, obviously the White House, you know, probably told all its congressmen that, you know, go easy on him, which according to Dr. Muhit Pirzada, yes, they did go easy on him. You know, save two congressmen from Texas who grilled him. And they grilled him so bad and so intensely that he literally broke into sweat. That's kudos to you. But again, the other congressmen, they just, you know, went on exactly the same way as our selected congressmen would do and would go about, you know, when given orders from the establishment. So this, and if anything, proves my point, because when I lived in France in 2002, and then later on when I went to England in the mid-2000s, I mean, I noticed this thing that the government is the same. The government employees, the government bodies, they're the same wherever you go. They're lazy asses, okay? They just, you know, they're ignorant in the sense that they don't actually read or use their common sense or use their brains when interacting or when dealing with cases or references. No, it's all, you know, exactly as written on the paper. And it's as if they themselves don't know what they're doing, you know. So it's very similar to our rote system here. You know, when we always complain about how in government colleges and universities, there's a guidebook. And if your answers do not match that guidebook, then the examiner will cancel your answers out and give you a big fat zero. Why? Because the only answer they know is from the guidebook. Even if a word strays from that guidebook, your answer is marked wrong. So, I mean, that's exactly how the government employees act everywhere, pretty much in all the countries. So I was amused when Muhit Pirzada was, you know, saying that, oh, he found that the congressmen, after all, were not that impressive. And if anything, they probably could not match the caliber of our politicians, if our politicians actually seriously worked without management. Well, but then, yeah, I mean, but those congressmen too were deliberately, you know, wasting time. But yes, I mean, I think the hierarchy exists in every country where you have the crème de la crème and then you have the, you know, the, well, substandard, subpar, you know, senators and congressmen and politicians and councilmen and, you know, so, or counselors.
But I mean, you know, it depends. It really depends. But I mean, yeah, I think that Donoghue probably also made that statement regarding the targeting of Imran Khan and the targeting of the public, the cruelty, you know, the rigging, whatever. Actually, he didn't actually mention the rigging, but I mean, he sort of summarized the whole scenario that led to the rigging. So I'm thinking that maybe he said that as not just to save his skin, but also to remind the White House that whatever he did was under their orders, and that he was damned if they were going to throw him under the bus. You know, so this was, you know, sort of a threat maybe on his part too, you know, telling them that if I go down, I'm not going down alone. You never know. I think that is a point that needs to be considered, considering what he said. So, yeah. I would say the same thing, that just like how our courts are compromised, at the top level, you know, their congressmen are compromised. Our congressmen are compromised, their Senate is compromised, our Senate is compromised. But I guess you can say that you can see where we got the corruption from, who we learned it from, you know. They're the masters there, right there in front of you. And speaking of compromised, yes, there is this, you know, I think Dr. Shahbaz Gill said this, that, you know, that Imran Khan has filed a petition in court against the rigging, asking for a transparent investigation. But again, you know, although everybody is, yes, legally speaking, I guess it will be on the record and the legal records, and it will make precedent maybe, or it will, you know, be part of the precedent that Imran Khan has, you know, filed a petition, and he has asked the court to, I guess you could call it that, it's a, he probably filed suit. Now, I don't know if it's actually a petition or a suit, because the both are valid. He can file suit against the ECP, and he can file a petition. And but in any case, the point is that it is a case against rigging that is now to be opened. But again, as I said, our courts are compromised. Now, Hamid Khan is supposed to be this really, really good, brilliant lawyer, and he's the one who is representing Imran Khan in this case. And it is said that he's also been, you know, referred to or recommended for Senate. But again, our courts are compromised at the top level. You may try to initiate this investigation, you know, you may try to prompt an investigation. The court might even agree with you, you know, after all, it's not even a secret. I mean, it's so open, the whole world knows about it. So what exactly do you think the court is going to do? I mean, if the court was actually going to do something about it, they would have taken supermoto, right? But they didn't. They didn't. That means that even though these charges have been filed, you know, against rigging, the question is, will this case actually come to trial? Will there be a hearing? You know, I am an eye for an eye kind of a person, so I do believe that, you know, instead of just going through all these, you know, mind games, because I have been a person who has indulged in mind games too. So I know all of that. I know exactly what is being played, how it can be played and all. But I am also a fierce believer in pure justice. I do think that the world has come to this point of regression, because in the name of mercy, we forced victims to endure injustices. We forced them to endure injustices, and we called it mercy. So I don't believe in that. I believe pure justice needs to be carried out. So I do believe that the army personnel, the police, the politicians, all of those who were involved directly and indirectly in whatever took place in Pakistan, the way they treated the women, the way they treated the political party workers, the way they treated the older men and women, the way they treated the children, every single thing that they did to all of us should be done to them. to their own women as well. I'm sorry, but that is what justice is, okay? You do it to our women, it has to be done to your women, okay? Your women have to suffer in exactly the same way. You have to go through the same pain. You have to suffer in exactly the same way. Whatever treatment you rendered to the public, the PTI workers, the women, the children, the elderly, the exact same treatment needs to be meted out to you, your women, your elderly, your children, your families. Maryam Nawaz, Nawaz Sharif, Shahbaz Sharif, Maryam Nawaz's brothers, every single one of them need to be treated in exactly the same way as they treated the PTI workers, the politicians, their women. Okay? That is what justice is all about. Well, this is me signing out. Khuda Hafiz.